This is the 20th Sunday after Pentecost, year A. The gospel lesson for today is Matthew 22:34-46. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Ehad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall praise the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Please be seated. What you just heard was the beginning of the Shema, or Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 5. And those two verses form the cornerstone of the Jewish faith, that there is only one true God to love with all your heart. This is the cornerstone. If you're Jewish, the Shema, meaning listen, hear, or obey in Hebrew, is the first thing you say when you get up in the morning and the last thing you say when you go to bed at night. And while Christian children are learning the Lord's Prayer in Sunday school, Jewish children learn the Shema as soon as they can speak. The words of the Shema have been central in Jewish worship for thousands of years. And understanding this is important when we look at the gospel lesson for today, because Jesus uses the Shema to outsmart a trickster, a lawyer that follows the Pharisees, the Herodians, the Sadducees, and a long line of temple leaders that are trying to trap Jesus into stating some untruth so that they can send him to his death. Their last attempt is through this lawyer, but Jesus won't be trapped. Now, surely you've noticed that Sunday after Sunday, we've been visiting Matthew's church, and our visit isn't over yet, you see, because we'll be here through the end of November. I'm just saying that so you can prepare yourself, because, you know, it seems like a long visit to me, and I think it's because we have big weeks between our Sundays, and we come and go from church. But Jesus didn't come and go from the temple. You see, all those parables that you've heard over the last 2 months, sitting here in Matthew's church, they were all told in one day in the temple. So Jesus' visit is not as long as we perceive it to be, and he doesn't come and go at all. Rather, he's in the middle of a day-long heated debate. And he's met each challenge to his authority with a parable, all leading up to this grand finale. When the scene opens for today, we are again observers of that one day in the temple, and we hear a lawyer ask Jesus, "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" You see, all along, these temple leaders have accused Jesus of veering away from the true historic faith of Israel. And what is that faith? It's the Shema. Shema, Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Ehad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone, and you are to love him with all your heart, soul, and might. They are accusing Jesus of not living that out, of not being faithful to the one true God. So our lawyer, trying to make Jesus admit this, constructs the ultimate trick because, you see, there are 613 commandments in the Torah. I know you think that there are 10, but there are 613 laws that tell Jews how to be faithful to the one true God. So the lawyer is really asking, which one of the 613 is the greatest, Jesus? He thinks he can make Jesus incriminate himself by having to choose just one. But so caught up in the law are they that they forget the Shema. So there's irony in this, if you like courtroom drama, that is, because Jesus wins this final argument by citing their law back to them. He uses their own trap. You see, for centuries before Jesus walked the earth, the ancient rabbis had linked the Shema to Leviticus 19:18, love your neighbor as yourself. Because, Jesus says, in this gospel lesson, you can't truly love God if you can't love your neighbor. These two are inseparable. And they were taught by those ancient rabbis, and that's why Jesus says, on these two hang all the rest, all 611 commandments that are left of the law and prophets, hang like coat hangers on a rack. And with that saying, Jesus constructs the essence of what we consider to be the cornerstone of our faith, that loving others is loving God. Or as another minister put it, love God with all that you've got and your neighbor as much as you love yourself, or at least as much as you love yourself, I hope. Now, that begs the question, if there is no loving God without loving your neighbor, how are we to love? Well, by coming to church 1 hour a week, perhaps? I don't think that's the only way to love God. And if you go back out in the world after worship and don't practice love your neighbor as yourself, I think you've probably cheapened the time that you spent with God in worship in the first place. Is that loving God with all you've got? I remember the story that Henry Nouwen tells in one of his essays about living into God's love. Nouwen was an author and a professor and a priest. He taught at Notre Dame. He taught at Yale and Harvard Divinity School for decades, in the 60s and 70s, before, in 1985, deciding to radically change his life. You could say that he wanted to live into the Shema, to live into the love of Yahweh. So he moved from Harvard. He quit his job, moved to Ontario, to a community called the Ark Daybreak. This was an educational institution for the handicapped, mentally handicapped, physically handicapped, and it started in France way before that. This year, in 2014, is the 50th anniversary of these communities that are all over the world. Now, this is a special community where six handicapped people live in a house with four able-bodied assistants to form a family. And Nouwen went to be one of those assistants. He said it was difficult at first to adjust to his new family. He couldn't seem to communicate with one boy named Adam. And some of his new friends, he had trouble accepting their needs and anticipating their needs. But eventually, says Nouwen, we all forgot that anyone in the group was handicapped. They were just simply members of our family: John, Bill, Trevor, Raymond, Adam, Rose, Jane, Steve, Naomi, and Henry. And together they shared each other's gifts and their struggles and their strengths and their weaknesses. You see, this is the loving God. This is loving God with all you've got, of putting our love of the other into action. And then that love, which is the love of God, fills us to the brim with peace, hope, and joy. One scholar noted that the key problem in understanding Jesus' double commandment in our day is that we've lost sight of the biblical meaning of love, a love that Nouwen knew and figured out how to live into when he moved to Daybreak in 1985. Think for a moment how we use the word love, really use the word love in our culture. We say things like, I love chocolate. I love my dog. Don't you just love that new Super Bowl ad? You know the one I'm talking about? The puppy that falls in love with the Clydesdale, the Budweiser ad? It's adorable. I love watching that ad on my new iPhone that I love so much, by the way. So you see, this is passive love. And sadly, we treat some of our human friends and loved ones with the same kind of love. We make them a thing. And this love of things is not the kind of love we need to give to the one true God. You see, God's love is different. It's eternal. And this is what Jesus knew. His love is active. And what Jesus is talking about here in Matthew 22, the love of Yahweh, Adonai, Jehovah, that love for him must be lived out in the world by taking care of others, at least as much as you take care of yourself. So as you go forth into the week, live into the Shema. Remember that it is the trick that Jesus pulled back on his abusers. It's the trick that he used to convince people and to form the cornerstone of our faith. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Amen.